When President-elect Donald Trump nominated Michigan's Betsy DeVos for Secretary of Education, it led to an array of different reactions. Some applaud the nomination and praise Betsy DeVos for her years of philanthropy, activism, and hard work fighting for school choice. Others say her approach to education is flawed and could be damaging if enacted at a national level. Joining us by phone today to look more closely at what we might expect after Betsy DeVos's confirmation, we've got Rebecca Jacobson. Rebecca's co-director of MSU's Education Policy Center and an associate professor of education here at Michigan State. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And I'm under the impression here we connected with Gary Nayert a minute ago and we lost him, so we're trying to reconnect with Gary Nayert. Gary is executive director of the Great Lakes Education Project, or GLEP. That is a nonprofit that advocates for school choice and where, we will point out, Ms. DeVos serves on the board. Rebecca, I'll start with you. Betsy and Dick DeVos are both ardent about charter schools and a voucher system here. I was going to ask Gary Nayert this question, and we'll let Gary chime in when we reconnect here with him. But fewer of our listeners probably understand the voucher system than charter schools. So let's start by making sure we have a good understanding of how a voucher system works. Can you help us out with that?
Sure. Well, voucher systems are implemented in about 45 different cities across the country, and there's only one state that has sort of a statewide voucher program. And they do vary, just like charter school laws vary from state to state. But generally, the key difference is that vouchers enable students to select a school, private school, religious school. In some ways, you could think of the student as receiving a check that they could take to any school, and there's no requirement that it be a public school that is required to follow some of the rules that our schools today are, like a common standardized test, certain requirements for hiring teachers that are qualified according to state rules. Private schools, as we know, are exempt from all of those rules. And so these vouchers enable parents to select those schools instead of just remaining within the public system.
But clarify for us, could a family with a voucher also use it somehow on a public school?
Certainly. The idea of a voucher is that you could take it to just about any school, homeschool, private school, cyber school, religious school. Vouchers really try to open up to the entire range of schools.
But we are talking public money here, to be clear.
Yeah. Exactly.
You and others have expressed concerns about this voucher system. Talk to us here just a little bit about why you find it problematic.
Well, I think that there's a couple of things. You know, first and foremost is an abandonment of a public education system where we do have some sort of agreement on what we think our children should be learning, that next generation, that the public has some way of oversight, right? So if we don't like our representatives, we have the opportunity to voice those concerns to them. We could vote for different representatives. Within a private system, a privatized system, there's very little way to redress, you know, if the public is unhappy with the choices that an individual family is making. So that is, sort of a fundamental concern that remains for me, is what does it mean for a system of public education if we allow students to choose very different kinds of education, private, that sort of thing.
I imagine if Gary Nayert were here, and we're still trying to connect with him here in Washington, I imagine if Gary were here, he would say something to the effect that if a private school were found to be insufficient, that the people who send their children to that private school would find some other option. That's at the heart of the choice argument here. How would you respond to that?
Certainly, and I think, you know, for many of us that have the time and resources to invest into looking at what's the best option for my kid and what's the best match, we might be able to make some really good choices. However, for many parents who lack that time, who lack that knowledge, who lack the resources to be able to do it, some of our most needy children then may have parents who are not equipped to make those choices. And certainly the research that's gone on in the public choice sector within charter schools demonstrates that oftentimes parents choose not because of school quality, but because of location, because of demographics, sometimes leading to even more concentrated forms of segregation, because parents may say, oh, well, my kid is X type. I want them to go to schools with other kids that are the same type. So parents don't always choose, as we know from, you know, football craze in Texas and Friday Night Lights. Parents sometimes choose schools for very different reasons than what's the best educational outcomes I can get for my child.
I'm told that we've reconnected with Gary Nayert. Gary, can you hear me?
I sure can, Mark. Thanks.
Very good. Glad to have you along here today. I'm growing tired of speaking in your stead here, so I'm glad we finally connected with you.
Thank you.
We'll let you speak for yourself here for a minute here. Rebecca has just pointed out that if I can summarize some of your last few comments, Rebecca, she fears that a voucher system really constitutes an abandonment of the public education system, and secondarily fears the lack of accountability that comes with a voucher system, and I think more broadly with charter schools as well. I'm sure you hear that a lot. Respond to those concerns, please.
Well, we think the ultimate accountability system is apparent more so than the government, but nobody chooses a school of choice without doing their homework or at least caring enough to explore the options. So we know that and believe that parents have the best interests of their kids at heart, and we wouldn't abdicate that responsibility to government bureaucrats, and we certainly wouldn't say that government bureaucrats should override parents in their decision of where they send their child. But when you talk about vouchers, what you're talking about is creating an opportunity for students whose parents don't have the means to either move to a higher performing suburban school system or pay for the private school tuition. We don't want that child's family situation and zip code, you know, to be the determining factor in what educational opportunities they have. And all of us pay taxes to support a public education, and all of us pay to, you know, have our citizens be educated. So to allow money to follow a child to the school of their choice that's chosen by the parent is our basic tenet, and we think it's a policy goal above all else.
I'm speaking with Gary Nayert, executive director of the nonprofit Great Lakes Education Project, and with Rebecca Jacobson, associate professor of education and co-director of MSU's Education Policy Center. We're talking about vouchers, charters, and what we might expect from Michigan's Betsy DeVos as Secretary of Education. Rebecca, you pointed out earlier there are 45 American cities and one U.S. state where voucher systems have been implemented here. How much do we know about the performance of those systems?
We know some. It's sometimes challenging to know this, in part because not all states require private schools to take the same test, nor do they always have to release that information. So it can be very difficult to even know how well those students that use those vouchers are doing in those schools. And so, you know, some of my concerns about moving to a privatized choice system that includes vouchers that go to private schools is what sort of requirements will be placed on those schools for receiving that public money? And will private schools be wanting to accept those regulations? Will there even be seats in those high-quality schools that may now have to face regulations that they have avoided and want to avoid? It's part of, you know, how they organize their system.
Gary Nayert, what do you make of the performance of voucher systems where they exist in the United States?
Well, it's well researched that students who exercise school choice, be it a charter school, another traditional public district school, or vouchers, that students go from a lower performing school to a higher performing school. That is generally what the research shows us. Now, to we want to make sure people understand a voucher is rarely not used. It's not something we're talking about universal. You know, that 1.5 million kids in Michigan would get a voucher and they'd be picking their school. I mean, it's the bulk of students historically have gone to traditional public schools, and the bulk of students will do so in the future. The choice argument is only for the people who aren't the right fit for their local district school or are looking for something different, or their needs are not being met. It's the exception, not the rule. And I don't think we are advocating, and I don't think people should assume, that we're talking about replacing traditional public education. We're just talking about creating options for those who'd like to seek them out.
Rebecca.
I just wanted to jump in, too. I mean, one of the most recent evaluations of students who participated in the Ohio voucher program actually demonstrated worse performance in math and English language arts that were not just right after a student switch, because we know when kids switch, there's sort of an adjustment period, and so achievement may decline. But those declines actually persisted over time. And in a lot of the choice literature, it's become pretty apparent that there's good schools everywhere and bad schools everywhere across these different types of schools. And so it's not surprising that in many cases, students are ending up in schools that they don't do better. In fact, they may do actually a little bit worse. So I do think we need to be cautious about assuming that a choice leads to higher quality.
I'm hoping we can both all agree that the record on school choice is so far mixed. There are successes to point to. There are failures to point to. Rebecca, is there any way to implement any kind of voucher system that you think might be effective, or should it be abandoned altogether?
I think that choice, as you've talked about, can be both good and bad. And I think that we have learned a lot over how to make a good choice system that still allows the things that we heard from Gary about allowing parents the options to choose one that fits their child better and be engaged in that process. But I do think it should remain within the public system. And I think that is really important to be public so that we have some oversight of these schools, so that there's some central organization that's able to think about not just, you know, do we have choice, but do we have the right set of choice for our students? Do we even have schools where kids are located? A voucher system doesn't provide any of that sort of central oversight and planning that we've really learned is necessary in order for choice to be successful.
Gary Nair, go ahead and respond to that, please.
Well, I mean, so we're not here to, you know, cause an argument. I mean, it's a philosophical question that people have to wrestle with, whether we want to allow people to use education funds at the school of their choice, public or private, because we have today a public school voucher system in Michigan. Since the passage of Proposal A, roughly $8,000 per pupil, you know, that money follows that child to the public school of their choice, and they can choose any school that is open to enroll them. So the question is only whether we would allow that to be extended to other institutions, private or religious schools. And no one is forced to, you know, utilize choice. No one is forced to, you know, pick a school that no one's assigned to a school. That's the big difference. We have kind of trying to break this monopoly of the traditional public school system. It was broken 20 years ago, and there are folks who just hang on and hang on to the way it had always been and use, you know, the choice argument against parents or families that want to leave the traditional system. But we're saying if for the traditional system, for people who want to use it, it's fine. We need improvement in Michigan in all areas of education. The performance of Michigan's students is well below where it should be for our students to be competitive. But again, I think it's a philosophical decision whether you agree or not agree that the private schools should be part of the mix.
I want to ask both of you in the time that we have left what your expectations are, assuming Betsy DeVos is confirmed. Rebecca, do you expect a really noticeable acceleration of the charter and voucher landscape?
I think that it's sort of hard to predict whether or not the vouchers have long been challenged in many different ways, and even many public votes have voted down vouchers. So it's hard to say whether or not it will really take off. I do certainly think we will see an increased push for choice, I guess I hope that the choice would remain within the public sector to ensure that all schools have to accept all students. I'm very concerned about high-need students that cost more than a voucher would provide. And so who's going to take those students? And will we further concentrate our highest need students into some schools that then have even less resources to deal with? And so I think it's really important for us to think about a system of schooling, and a system requires some sort of oversight and collective planning that can then ensure that we don't just have choice, but we have quality.
Very good. Gary Nayer, I'll give you a chance to respond. What are you expecting here, assuming Betsy DeVos is confirmed?
Well, the two main priority education goals that President-elect Trump has articulated are that he wants to create a federally funded voucher program, especially for at-risk kids, and he wants to reduce the size and scope of the federal footprint on education and return a lot of the power and decision-making back to the states. Those are the two primary pledges he has made. I know that Betsy DeVos supports those and agrees with those, and I think you're going to see probably the most immediate result will be less arguing over the D.C. scholarship program, which is a voucher program in the District of Columbia,
right,
that the president, current president, has been resistant to renew, whereas the Congress has been willing to do so. But I think under a Trump administration with Ms. DeVos as the secretary, you'll see a robust D.C. opportunity scholarship, and these kids won't be dangled like political punching bags, you know, every year trying to decide whether they're still going to be able to go to school or not.
We have to leave it there, Gary. I'm sorry. That's the D.C. Opportunity Scholarship Program that he's talking about there. I've been speaking with Gary Nayert, executive director of the nonprofit Great Lakes Education Project, where Betsy DeVos serves on the board. I've also been speaking with Rebecca Jacobson, co-director of MSU's Education Policy Center. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks so much for having me.